All right, so this morning, we just want to share what, as the elders, what we feel God is saying for this year. And, you know, through December, I intentionally spent quite a bit of time with God because, you know, we need to hear. But I had some stuff going on in my life, and I think, you know, the one place that I knew I can get stuff sorted was in God's presence. And I'll be honest, there was times that I actually didn't want to be with the Lord, and you know, kind of felt so sorry for myself that I'm just sitting there, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And I can honestly say that in God's presence, everything changes. And last year we went on an elders retreat, you would remember, and there we prayed and sought God's face, and that's what I want to share this morning. But before I get into this, last Squibus' sermon last week, if you weren't here, I want to ask you to listen to it. And the sermon of 5th of January, the sermon that I shared on the 5th of January, is essentially the heart of what I'm going to share today. Sort of laid the foundation there on the 5th of January. Quivers really built on it, and his sermon was really good. And you need to listen to that and apply what he has spoken. And this morning, I just want to unpack for us a bit further what we feel God is saying to us. Now, in Matthew 25:1-10, we read the following. It says, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom." Now, I just want to say, this translation say will be. Some of the other translations say shall. And if you think of this, and if you know the story, in which I'll finish reading now, but you can actually see this in the church. You can see this in Christianity. You can see this happening every day. The virgins, the 10 virgins, and the way they prepare for the coming of the bridegroom. Okay? So it's interesting. I found it interesting when I read the scripture that it says, this is what it will be like. It's almost like a prophetic word, a declaration that this is what's going to happen. So I just want to tell you, God is not confused about what's happening in this earth. He knows. And more importantly, he knows you. Okay, he says, 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And the bridegroom was delayed. They all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. And it's going to be like that one day. Jesus is going to appear quickly. So I guess we better be ready. Amen? Amen. Then all arose, all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and saying, since there will be not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. There's going to be a day where there's going to be no tomorrow. And it's coming. And what the scripture encourages us today, you and me, is to be ready, to have our oil lamps and our lamps full and our oil full. If we're going to be like the foolish and not have that oil in our lamps, we will not be burning when he's getting here. And there's many things that deplete the oil of our lives. I mean, if we think about it, the things of this world, the pressures and the stuff constantly want to drain the very life out of each one of us so that we will not be ready. If the devil has one agenda, is to wear you out and to get you tired and to empty your lamp so that you will not be burning when Jesus returns. And like these virgins, the bridegroom is delaying. You know, since I got saved in 1989, I've been hearing that Jesus is coming. There was a phase in my Christianity where I was fearful. Man, I didn't miss nothing. Because just now Jesus preaches and then I missed it. Then we're not in church, and he arrived, and I wasn't there. I lived in fear, which is wrong, just saying. But my immature revelation of the kingdom, that's just where I was. But Jesus is coming back. I've been hearing for years and years that this is the end times. We are almost there. And it is true. But the one thing you and I need to make sure of is that our oil, our lamps are full. That I have spare oil. That I have an abundance. Because if the bridegroom tarries longer, you know, for those of you that are young here, you know, I remember, wait. I say praise the Here. Lara, you come over here, come sit here. But you know, when you're younger, you don't think of what comes in the future. You kind of live this invincible life. You know, tomorrow's another day. But there's no guarantee that tomorrow is going to come. And we need to be ready. Our lamps need to be burning. We need to be full. So let's not be foolish. Let's not be like the foolish virgins and just have enough. Just enough to get past this day. Can we have more than enough? You know, can we have so much that we can even give to those that lack? I'm talking about the presence of God, not. So the one scripture that you're probably going to hear a lot over the next couple of weeks and so on is Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. And I shared a bit on this on the 5th. And I just want to read it to us again. And he says, "Have you not known and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." Come on. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And I don't know what your 2024 ended like. Maybe you were crawling to the end of 2024. I'm going to make it. I'm almost there. But like the fit among us, some of you were just like, I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't one of those that hop, skip, and jump over the finish line. I was crawling a bit there, okay? So, yeah. But the scripture makes it clear and says, "Have you not known? And have you not heard?" And maybe you've heard this. Maybe you know that our God is this great God, the everlasting God, the one who made the heavens and the earth. And I want to remind you who He is. He's far greater than your circumstances, than your reality, than your past. He's the God of your future. He's a God who made everything, that's got everything in control. And He's the one that makes the difference in everything that you and I do. I'm sure, like me, you have tried to do things out of your own strength simply to fail, only to become weary and tired, worn out. And this scripture says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" And I want to remind you of that. And then he proclaims that this God whom he serves does not faint. He does not get weary. His understanding is unsearchable. In other words, he's the one place where you and I can go that we need. There's everything that you and I need. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Maybe your year has kicked off with a bang. He's the one who gives strength to carry on, to pull through, to walk through this year. And I said on the 5th, you know, for God, there's not an old year and a new year. It's just life. He's got a plan. He's on his plan with you. He's working it. is not confused. But if you are tired, you need strength, that's where you need to go. And then the scripture makes it very clear that you need to wait on him. I always say, and you know this, that the only problem with waiting is the wait. Especially if it takes longer than what it should. I can wait for a short period, all of us, nah? Okay, all of you are so patient. I mean, come on, you guys are next level. You can wait for months for the answer of the Lord. I fail. So this morning I say, this scripture says that heaven has no short supply. Heaven is not the problem. God is not the problem. It's not that he has too little for you and for your life. It's not that he's not aware of what's going on in your life. He has got everything under control. Just wait on him. Just be with him. The Amplified puts it even better in verse 31. It says, but those who wait for the Lord, and then he says this, whom expect, look to, and hope in him. Just look at it. Who expect. Do you expect God to pitch in your life? In your circumstances? Do you expect him to do the miraculous, the powerful, the mighty things of who he is in your life? Or have you decided that your past dictates what his interaction with you are going to look like in this year? That your past sufferings and hurts and pains or whatever, or even when he didn't answer you, that he's not going to answer you this year. Do you expect him to answer you this year? Do you look for him? Do you hope for him? You know, is your and my life about seeking this God who is so beautiful, so wonderful, who radiates love towards us, that's passionate about us? I want to say to you, if you were worth nothing, then Jesus wouldn't have died for you. But he died for you and for me. You are worth his life. He gave everything for you and me. So don't tell me he doesn't care about you right now. Don't tell me he doesn't care about your future. Don't tell me he cares about where you've come from, what you're doing. He's passionate about you. But can you see the sequence here? Can you see it? To walk and not faint, you need to wait on him. To soar like an eagle, close to the Son of God, you need to wait on him. If you want renewed strength and have your power renewed and live a full life, you need to wait on him. You need to expect him, look for him, and hope in him. Like I said on the 5th, you know, this year can be about a lot of stuff. And I don't know how your year has kicked off. But has your year kicked off with God? Intimately with God? Is he setting the very tone of your life for this year? Is he the one in absolute full control of what happens with you? I want to say only if you allow him. Because we can be about life. Autopilot. I mean, we just go. We can hit our work, our studies, whatever the phase of life you are in, you can just get in there. I want to tell you, wait on him. It's just a pity that we often don't, we do it the other way around, right? We just run. We just go for it. We try and fly. I mean, we flap our wings. I mean, like it's going out of fashion. But we need to wait on him. So the first point in terms of what we believe God is saying to us this year is we have a deep sense that intimacy with God is priority. Deep intimacy. Time spend with him, seeking him, drawing close to him, hearing his voice. You know, I cannot do that for you. All the stuff that we do in this congregation will maybe assist you in that, but you have to set out the time and the place to hear him, to walk with him, study the word, pray, and put in the time to be intimate with Him. You know, a marriage relationship is a good example, because if a husband and a wife don't spend time together, will that marriage even last? I almost want to say, can you call it a marriage if they never spend time together? And this year we sense God is saying, come closer. Even the picture that I saw in the leaders' prayer this morning is just, I mean, God already saying, man, I just want to radiate my love on you. And I want that love to touch and change your life, so that that love can spill over into this world. This world needs it so desperately. And you and I are the carriers of that love. But if I'm too busy running around with the stuff of this life, how will I be full? How will I be drenched in the presence of God? So we're sensing God saying, come closer, come deeper into intimacy with me. It's the key success factor of whatever that happens this year, to use corporate terms. Onthou julle vir success factors, no? Key success factors, no? You see, everything we want to do this year must flow from this. So yes, we have a full calendar. We have some stuff planned. We've got lots going to happen, and you'll hear of it as we go. But please understand, we want to tackle it this year from this place of absolute intimacy with Jesus. So myself and Lorette and the elders and their wives, we're going to do this. We want to see God's face. The leaders, the small group leaders, we had a meeting on Saturday. We're going to do this. We're going to see God's face. We want to contend for what God has in store for us. So it's true corporately, but it's also true individually. Waiting is intimacy. Now, just to remind you on Shofar Church's vision, which we submit to and we walk in, is to reach nations and generations. You can put that up. Through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. This is what we as Shofar feel God is calling us to do. So what we are doing here, the heart is to reach the nations. The heart is to reach generations. We want to make disciples. We want to raise up leaders. We want to plant churches. But I can tell you, this is not possible unless we are intimate with Jesus. As a leader, I could probably come up with a whole host of things to make this possible. I can keep all of us so busy. But what we want to contend with is intimacy with Jesus to fulfill the call and the destiny of what He's calling us to. And then I want to take you to our core values. And this is something that you don't often see. Now, I think if I ask this morning, you can tell me what the core values is of Shofar, then probably, I don't know how many of you will be able to tell me, but can I take you through it quickly? Because this is what we're about. And this really plays into what we're trusting God for this year. The first core value that we have is a passion for Jesus. It's all about Him. Passion speaks of love for Jesus. The Father's emphatic, blazing love to and through us. This love lends legitimacy to who we are and what we do. If it's not about Jesus, we don't want to do it. We are passionate about Him. Therefore, we want to be intimate with Him. Therefore, we want to hear His voice, His instruction. If you are passionate with Jesus, then come on, let's do this. Last year, I shared that message of what's in the box. So I just want to remind us of that. You know, I said, if life was a box, a lacquer box, and we can just put one thing, you can just put one thing in that box, what will you put in that box? Because you can put work in there, you can put your wife in there, you can put your studies in there. You know, what's the most important thing that you want to put in that box? So what are you putting in that box? There's a lot. Most of us try and cram like 20,000 things in there. You know, playing Tetris, trying to fit it in this life box. But if life is only about one thing, what will you put in the box? If you can only choose one thing, there's nothing else, just one thing, what will you put in the box? And if you choose Jesus Christ and you put Him in the box of your life, then you need to trust Him with everything else of your life. Now, this is what passion for Jesus is about. We have decided that we're putting Jesus in the box. He's the one thing, the one person, I can't say thing, He's the one person that we are pursuing that permeates into everything that we want to do. And maybe we've lost our way in certain things in the past, and maybe, you know, we all make mistakes, right? But we are saying, come on, saints, we as a congregation together, we as individuals, we want to pursue Jesus Christ more than ever before. And then the second one is power of belief. Power is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Profound belief sustains this inspiration, makes for change, growth, and accomplishment. We want to believe God for great things through the Holy Spirit. With God, nothing is impossible. Oh, come on, saints, you need to hear me here now. Nah? Do we still believe this? Okay, so can we live that way, that we live in a way that that with God nothing is impossible? We will have the faith, the belief in Jesus Christ to walk this out in a powerful way. To see the miraculous happen, not just in our lives, not just in this little community, but may it spill over into this community, into this world. Those that are lost, that is why we are here. That is why Jesus came. The third one is people to serve. We are about people. You know, we are in this nice, beautiful venue, and I'm so grateful we can be here. Maybe in 2-3 years' time, we're not here. But you will be. Well, hopefully. And you know what? There will be more people to disciple, to walk with. It's about people. It's not about a religious form. We don't want to do this because it's our culture. Church is not that. Church is about Jesus. A passion for Him. A zeal for Him. And you know, when you look at these values and you look at Scripture, You have to filter what your life is about through Scripture and say, but is this truly what my life is about? Or has other stuff now clogged it? Become more important in my life than this. People to serve. People are our core business. To serve them flows naturally from this passion. Which passion? The passion for Jesus. Leadership happens when we commit to serve and grow others. You know, this world has become so much about me and what I need. Paul says, I'm being poured out as an offering. Can we be vessels that are being poured out this year? Yeah, like I said earlier, but Kobus, I'm cracked. That's okay. Come. Let God fill you. Be intimate with Him. Be close to Him. Draw so close to Him in your quiet times, in your places where that you can walk out there and be poured out. May you be full of the Scripture, of His presence, of His anointing and His power, that when you step out of your quiet time in the morning, man, your work is in for it. Because you have been filled. Don't let your emotions dictate your day. Let the presence of God dictate that. Let what He says matters for your day. Because you know what? Your every day when you go to work, for God at least, it's about people. It's not about your paycheck. It's not about the deadline. Although those things are important, right? Paycheck. But for God, it's about people. May it be the same for each one of you. So we, our core value is we want to serve people. This is where we want to make a difference. Then the next one is purpose to pursue. Purpose is an inheritance everyone has from God. It is a uniquely crafted, person-specific progression of assignments. Finding an engagement and engaging in it brings the reward of ultimate affirmation. You have an inheritance from God, a purpose, a plan. Deuteronomy makes it clear, God has a plan for you, man. He's got some good thoughts for you. He's got things that he wants to do. He wants to take you places. And all you have to do is yield to him and say, God, take me there. But what we are saying this morning, in order to do these things, we want to wait. We want to wait on the Lord so that we can renew our strength, so that we can run, so that we can soar. But there's a difference in simply waiting and on waiting on the Lord, isn't there? Normal waiting, when you're just waiting for something to happen, leads to hopelessness, sadness, depression, and fatigue because you are just waiting. And this is what makes waiting on the Lord so much different. I say, you know, waiting on the Lord is often the problem, but it's also exciting. Because waiting on Him is to see what He's going to do. And so often God pitches in our lives and He doesn't do it the way I thought He's going to do it, does He? At least that's what I've seen. I've kind of got this plan, the Lord's going to, you know, we're going to, and then God goes, no, we're going to go that way. It's beautiful. Waiting upon the Lord releases strength to overcome and endure. It builds our faith. Waiting is passive. Waiting on the Lord is active. Waiting can make our hearts sick, but waiting on the Lord makes our hearts come alive with hope and passion. So I think you get the message that we want to wait on God, but that scripture is about more than just waitings. And I just want to show you three words, and showing you the three words that we think is kind of, you know, that was on my slide. The first one, that this is what we want to trust God for this year. The first one is the wait. And we read, as the elders, a book called The Other Half of Church, end of last year, just speaking about relational resilience and, what do you call it, mental resilience and stuff like that. And the one thing he speaks about there is that, you know, God makes His face shine upon you and me. Even as we experienced this morning, God makes His face shine upon us. And we make our faces shine upon one another. In other words, showing the glory of God to those that are around Him. Now, when we speak about the wait, which is that point there, is that it's God's face shining on us. So your intimacy, your passion, that time with God, that is God making His face shine upon you. That is His glory being poured out in your life. His majesty, His power, everything, as you commune with Him, He makes His face shine upon you. That closeness, man. You know, it's not like God is far. That scripture that He refers to there is that there's a closeness. There's an intimacy. So we want God to shine His face upon us, and that's why we want to wait on Him. Revealing His love and His strength to us, making His word alive to us. But then we also want to be renewed. And as we are being renewed, because when I sit in God's presence, I will be renewed. My strength will be renewed. I will have new fervor and so on, so that I can make my face shine on those around me. So this year is not just about your intimacy with God, deep intimacy, sitting there on your own, becoming, you know, entwined with Him and not pouring it out, not taking it somewhere else. That the intimacy needs to be poured out. As you are being renewed, you pour it out on those around you. And then the run and walk is that we make our faces shine on those that are in this world, taking the glory of God out of this church into this world, making it shine. You know, like Moses, when he came from the presence of God and he got to the people and they're like, yo, Moses, your face is shining. We cannot even look at you. May we walk like that with the Lord this year. Yeah, but Corbis, is only for pastors. No, it's not. It's for each one of us. It's only for leaders. No, it's for you. So we want to put Jesus in the center of our passion, what we want to do this year. Our life goal, our aims, everything We want to do that. A passion that is fueled with by deep intimacy with Him. Where you and I hear Him, listen to Him, and we know what He's saying to us so that we can do the very things that He's calling us to do. Because I know one thing, when I wait on Him, I change. God never changes. His faithfulness, He doesn't run out of faithfulness. He's always faithful. Every time I thought He's not faithful and I had to check and it was me taking a walk somewhere else. And I had to come back to Him and go, Kobus, He's still there. He's still faithful. I get renewed. I get new strength. You know, I said I went through some stuff end of last year, but I can tell you my strength is renewed. Yeah, it's probably still a bit of a process, but my strength is renewed. We're going to run because I spent time with Him over this December. Man, I did. I can honestly say that. I spent time with Him to make sure I hear Him. Not coming with my agenda. That's the one thing I did not do. Because when we come to God often, we've got that list. I just sat with Him. And it was interesting how God went deeper into me so that I can be renewed, so that I can run and not get weary, so that I can soar like this eagle. So when we spend this time with Him, then we can preach the gospel. We can share it with those around us. So what is 2025 about for us as a congregation? Is to wait, to renew, and to run. To soar, to walk. So it's not just that we become so intimate, there's a spillover, there's a practical application, if I may put it that way, in everything that this needs to flow through what happens here on a Sunday, what happens on Wednesdays, and our outreaches, our plans, everything. We want to do it. Deep intimacy with Him, 100% dependence. Am I saying, by saying that was not the heart in previous years? I want to say no. But we do feel there's a certain and an immense focus from the Holy Spirit for us as a church to grow in that this year. To pull back what we've lost possibly in previous years, what you've lost. To get back to the heart of what God is calling us to wait. Why? So that we can step into every promise that He has for us. The promises He has, not the promises we want Him for us to have. The promises He has for us. That He will allow us to minister in a more powerful and crazy way to this world who needs the love of God desperately. And I certainly believe that as you and I are tanked up, are overflowing, as it spills over, it will be easy. It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be difficult. Because it's not my strength. Heaven is not out of supply. I just need to plug in and get some juice from heaven so that I can run. And the one thing we want to do this year, or at least for the next couple of weeks, there's an app by John Eldridge, who's the writer of The Wild at Heart. So if you could put up that next slide. So there's a 30-day journey to resilience that's on this app. It's one of the tools I used through December, Jan, to really help me connect with God. And it's a simple 10-minute time with the Lord where He takes you through Scripture, speaks to you, helps you grow. And coming, not this, the Wednesday after this Wednesday coming is our big group, our gathering of all the small groups. But then on Thursday, We want to start this as a congregation because we want to take this through the small groups. We want to be deliberate in growing in intimacy with God. And this is simply a tool to help you and me to grow in that. So you're welcome to scan this QR code. It will take you to the online store so that you can go download it. There's some 1 minute and 3 minute and 5 minute apps, pauses and so on. He calls it pauses that you can go and have a look at. But don't start the 30-day one just yet. We want to start it next week, Thursday, as a family. This Thursday. So don't start it. Just tap someone there. Say, don't start it. Okay? So you'll hear some more on Wednesday. But what he does in this course, it's a morning and an evening pause, two pauses of 10 minutes. Like I said, that it takes you through some stuff. And what I can say, and Loretta's been doing it as well, it really just helped us to get back into a rhythm of a morning and an evening time with God. It's not that we had it, but it was very deliberate. Intimate time with Jesus. And this will just, it's a catalyst. Essentially, it's what we want to use it as. For us to grow closer to God. Okay? So you want to know more? I'll share some more on Wednesday at the big group. So please be here for that. But church, the one thing we want to get right this year is to wait on God. Intimacy. Renewed strength. And then we want to run. So the running is not only starting in October, just telling you, okay? Because you can wait on God, be renewed, and be able to run instantly. Because that's our God. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray.